It's hump day here on RBKD. Luckily, Rod's newly married, so he may be able to take advantage of that hump day later on. We got a lot of football to talk about here. The PFF grades are in for the Horns against the Hogs. Yeah, it's not pretty. We'll also look ahead to Rice a little bit. TCU and Houston were so close to joining the Pac-12. And there's a rapper who's taken bling to another level. He went from DB High to DBU. Somehow ended up in Detroit. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. Yet he's not. He's as open-minded as anyone, yet discriminates against white foods, condiments, has never had vanilla ice cream. Tough to believe. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He wore number 21. He's the one and only Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first, a lifetime Austin Knight, a conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. He was a reality TV star before it ever was a thing. And yeah, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than your whole team. That's my man, the estimable Kevin Dunn. Getting choked up.
Getting choked up with my one ball.
Getting choked up talking about it, man.
Yeah. Well, what would happen with two balls?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good, man.
I appreciate you bringing in, because we forgot yesterday. You told me you had it, the banana nut bread.
Yes, that's my fault. I had it with me, and then I just left it in the ride, and I had it in the back. And even when we left, I probably should have brought it back in. Then I forgot. I didn't see it until I got home. And I was
all good. All good.
I'll just bring it, and I'll bring it in the morning.
I got a treat during the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's your banana nut bread. Which
I can't believe you don't like that.
Not a big fan. Yeah.
Don't worry, more
for
me.
It's got exotic nuts in it. And then you can choose your own nuts, right? The nut is not specific in banana nut bread.
It's not. And there are multiple nuts in that.
And that's what I'm saying. People, they just kind of freestyle the nut thing. And that's why, that's dangerous. That's why I don't go with the banana nut bread.
Go with the pecan.
I'm not, yeah. Now, what I'm saying, like, there's no way I could figure out what kind of nut's going to be in there. And then I get caught off guard.
Is there a nut you don't like?
It's a couple of nuts that I'm not really, a fan of.
I'm not sure there's a nut that I'm
really. There's
I'm
no
not a fan
nut
of.
That you're not a fan of.
There's not a nut that
I've
had.
I'm not a pecan fan. Not a pecan fan.
Really?
No. Pistachios. I know a lot of people love them. Isn't that a nut?
Yeah.
Not a big pistachio guy.
Trey, save the text. I don't care if it's a.
He's probably a nut snob.
It's an omelude. Yeah. What's an omelude?
I do like almonds. I like cashews. Peanuts, of course. I mean, who doesn't like a peanut?
Well, you don't like pecans, so.
I like pecans. I don't like, it's like a Brazilian nut.
Pecans.
You know, Brazilian nut? I don't like pecans. Yeah.
I'm not sure I've had Brazilian nut.
There's a Brazilian nut, I believe.
I've had Brazilian, but not nuts.
All right. There's enough of this nut discussion.
You know my theory on them.
What? The Brazilians or the Brazilian nuts?
Both. They just... pretty much because of the way that thing is built and all the different people that have come to Brazil, they have screwed themselves into maybe the best looking population. Hence, their STD rate, HIV rate is very high because
this is very high. This is true.
Because everywhere you walk, you'd have sex with someone. You can't get out of the bathroom.
No, you're right. There's some places like that. Like I once saw a good-looking homeless, like an attractive homeless person in Miami, and it was crazy. It was weird. Like they were genuinely attractive.
I thought, man.
Like he was an attractive homeless person.
Run some game.
It's like only in Miami.
Right, only in Miami.
Only in Miami. You don't see attractive homeless people.
You usually don't.
I mean, it's just...
it's tough to stay attractive if you're homeless.
That's part of it, too.
You know, but also, people with cats.
Attractive people get more advantages in life. That is true. The studies have been done.
Yes, they
and
have.
On the other end of that, unattractive people, unfortunately, they are treated like minorities in this country.
It's unfair.
But nobody wants to admit they're unattractive, so they can't have an advocacy group like black people or our Asian brethren or our Latino brethren. Nobody wants to go, no, I'm unattractive, and it's hurt my ability to get a job.
Nobody's walking into that building. This is unfair.
And I need government support. Damn it.
Help me out.
Help me out.
I'm ugly.
Look at me, damn it.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Well, you could also convince them, too, if you don't have enough money, you could just say, no, you're not. Yeah, you're probably right.
You could. But
my mom always said that.
But don't worry. Unattractive people, you're in the minority, just like attractive people. Most people are just average looking.
Just average looking.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out. Just doing your thing.
I'll take Texas to be average right now. Texas, we're trying to move on to Rice here
they're
a little
average.
Bit.
Because we've seen one good game, one bad game. So
yeah.
That basically averages out to...
That would average it out.
To average.
Right. Although, the good game, do you see what Louisiana did this weekend? Last weekend?
Oh, no. Don't.
Look, you know, I'm
what is it?
I'm
this here, transitive I'm property here, stuff. Here we go.
I'm here to give you national perspective.
Give it to me.
I watch a lot
Please
of different
tell
college
me they,
football.
They whip the hell out of somebody.
As much as I love UT football, I love college football right there.
And your DVR suffers.
It does. Oh, man. DVR
bloated.
Is drained.
It is obese.
Bloated. I need to give it a vaccine. It's
yeah, it's
in
true.
That percentage of
it
people
is.
That
it's high
real,
risk.
It's high risk.
You have a high
it
risk.
It's high
DVR
risk vaccine. Risk. They beat Nicholls State 27-24. So we'll find out. I mean, hopefully Louisiana's good. I got my boy Elijah Mitchell running for the Niners. But
wish you wouldn't have started off the show with that. Wish you'd have waited until the 6 o'clock hour.
Just giving numbers.
For that little
just
bombshell. You could have just, you know what I mean? You could have just
breaking
dropped that
news.
At 6 o'clock. You would have dropped that here at the beginning of the show. Okay. Then you, okay. All right. And now you want to talk Texas football, I'm sure. You're trying
no,
to get
I
me riled
talk
up.
Texas football.
You know, on Wednesday, I am calmed down.
Trying to get you goosed up. It's hump day.
I yelled for the first 2 days of the week, and I'm calm now. I'm ready to move on. It's like when you...
You're breathing?
When you live with somebody and you get it, you live with someone and you get into like a bad argument and you start, they don't talk to each other or you have that like that angst for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I'm at that point now. I was like, listen, I don't care about the argument anymore. I'm done. I'm moving on. I love you. Let's move on together and let's just go back to our regular everyday life. We'll agree to disagree on whatever the hell we were talking about. It doesn't matter that much. And if it does matter that much, you're right. You're good. You got it. Let's move on. So I'm at that point in my relationship with Steve Sarkisian right now. Let's just move on. We'll agree to disagree. You had a very bad day. Let's agree you had a bad day.
You had a bad day.
You had one of your worst days as a professional coach. Let's just agree that that was it. You
move
have another
on.
One? Then, you know, we'll talk again. Then we might have to revisit this issue, and you don't want to do that. But so I'm at that point, and then you bring up that stat. I'm ready to move on to Rice.
Saying.
I'm ready to start talking about beating Rice.
Going through stuff last night.
The Owls. Do they have a hoot? Do they hoot as a hoot?
I don't think they hoot
they don't
as
hoot?
Much.
Do they? I mean, is that a thing when you're an owl? When an owl's your mascot, you got it. Isn't that what an owl does?
I think so.
It's
yeah,
hoot,
what they do.
Hoot, 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 hoot. Do they do that? That'd be really cool if this whole entire stadium did it.
They don't. They have the mob.
Not the band.
So,
yeah, the band's gangster.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So Rice is, for me, the best school, academic school in the state of Texas. It's
Ooh,
a phenomenal
shout
school.
Shout out.
It's in Houston.
H-Town.
But when I was doing one of the Astros Classics, right?
Yeah.
Where and Rice was there. Texas was obviously there. And doing it for ESPN and talking to all the players the day before the tournament started and talking with some Rice guys. And this is when Rice baseball was still, I mean, they were getting high level guys. Guys are going to be first and second round picks. And they had two starting pitchers who were big time. I mean, they were thought to be, these guys could be first, second, third rounders. Not going to give their names, but was talking to them and just trying to get you trying, because we're doing three games a day. And what if there's a blowout? I'm trying to get some background information, stuff you can say during the broadcast, right? It's baseball too, so it's slow. And talking to these guys, I said, man, you know, how's Rice? And this one guy was so honest. It was great. He's lucky that I'm me and none of this is going to go on the air until the radio not using his name years later. He looked at me and he said, I hate it.
I hate it.
What? He goes, chicks are ugly. Our fans are old. I hate it.
Wow.
I go, well, okay. He goes, I'm just here to play.
That's pretty damn honest.
I'm here to play baseball and get out of here.
That is really honest. The chicks are ugly. Fans are old.
Yeah.
I hate it. Man. But he's in Houston. So you don't have
yeah.
to actually date the women on campus.
That's
You're
true.
In one of the largest cities in the world. So,
and if they know their stuff, they know you could be a millionaire soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, you might have to sell that to them because ladies don't.
Right.
It's why it's easier on campus when you're a big man on campus because the
know.
Ladies
this
know a little bit.
Ace.
Yeah, somebody's
yeah.
like, hey, you know who that is or whatever it is, something like that. So. Now I feel them though. The chicks are ugly.
Chicks are ugly.
The fans are old.
The fans are old. I hate it. No, I'm not going to write that down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rice is a great school.
It is a great school.
Great school.
I mean, I used to work out at Rice. I worked out at Rice almost every day.
You had sex at the 50.
I had, yes, I did. I had relations on the 50-yard line.
Relations?
With a young lady.
What are you, a politician?
No, it was special, KD.
I'm sure it was.
It was special.
I'm sure it was.
It was on the 50-yard line,
knowing
man.
Knowing you probably brought a picnic.
They played the Super Bowl there.
I know. It's special to me. Was it special for her?
Oh, yeah. Very, very special. Oh, man. You don't think she remembers that?
I'm sure she remembers it.
You don't think she remembers that?
There's a lot of things I remember that aren't special.
To this day, kids, married, husband, everything, still remembers
this. Sure, husband would love that one.
He doesn't know the story. Maybe he does. Maybe he knows the story. Maybe he's trying to top it.
Now, if it would have been Deion Sanders, it's a different thing. He would have been proud of that.
They used to keep the stadium open. It's crazy.
Yeah, stadiums used to be open.
They used to keep it open at night. I used to go there at night. And stadiums at night are so romantic. It's weird.
They are.
You know what I mean? It's strange. I hate to say that's weird at night.
We used to play yard football.
I used to sneak into DKR all the
at
time,
at Memorial
too.
After the game. Yeah. It was a different world. Parents would go to Schultz and go, hey, walk back here. Make sure you're back here in an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'd walk on back.
You were good. Is that when the track was?
Track was there?
It, yeah.
You'd go run around.
People used to work out in the stadium back in the day. Yeah. Like just random, just regular people.
Regular people.
You'd run the stairs. Times have changed.
They've changed.
You can't be a big-time football program and have your stadium be open to the public. That's just reality.
No, this has to be a tour-type situation.
Yes, you need to schedule that.
Who do you know?
And you can't go work out there. And you got to keep jabronis from me from trying to bang it out on your 50.
That, too. I know some people that did that at House Park.
Oh, what's a beautiful stay. I bet that was special.
Right.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Passerbyers on 15th. Get a little peek.
Well, you got to do it late at night. That's the key.
Oh, there's still people driving by there.
That's true. That's why it's bad. Rice, you can't. There's no way driving by unless you're like literally in a plane or a helicopter or something. So I was at least that discreet.
All right. Before we get to Rice, PFF grades. You and I both like Pro Football Focus. Very analytical. They don't know the difference between Bijan Robinson and DeSean Jameson.
They're trolling
us. But they've been trolling us pointed this out. He was all over it probably like a month ago or maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah,
because they did it
us.
Once. They got a bunch of feedback, and then like, oh, we're going to have fun with this.
They've done it at least 4 times now. Come on.
Since.
That's crazy.
It's created some funny memes, whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah.
Or just Twitter reactions with Texas fans.
I'm waiting on Bijan.
Where I've seen Chance Mock. I'm going to tell my kids this is Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I'm waiting on Bijan to respond to it, though. He hasn't responded. He's too humble, though. He's just too nice of a young man.
And hopefully he's focused on other stuff.
That is also true. Good point.
Now, Bijan's PFF grade would be tough, but I can only imagine the offensive line and a majority of this team did not have a very good PFF grade against Arkansas.
So I'll give credit to Longhorns Wire because they're the ones who gathered the information from the Pro Football Focus site. And they had some of the best, the highest grades defensively, the highest grades offensively as well. According to Longhorns Wire and their information that they gathered from Pro Football Focus, B.J. Foster defensively had the highest Pro Football Focus grade for Texas in that game versus Arkansas with an 83 grade. Doesn't surprise us.
No.
Made the big interception, and he made a couple of plays. He almost got, remember that play in the end zone where he's outstretched and ends up getting his hands on that one too. That might have been a hell of a play, but I mean, he actually made a lot of plays in that game, and he came down and made a few hits early in the game too. So he got the highest score. Moro Ojomo, defensive tackle, which I'm surprised, got the second highest grade, 81. Anthony Cook, who you said actually had a good game when you rewatched it actually a second time.
Was that right?
79.8, so third best defensive grade for Anthony Cook. Josh Thompson at 77, fourth best defensive grade. And Kenfolk, Darian Dunn.
Shout out.
At 69.8. BK would be proud. Darian Dunn at 69 with the fifth best defensive grade. Probably should round up, get a man 70.
Yeah.
So defensively, it's strange. Actually, a couple of those match up with the eye test, B.J. Foster and Anthony Cook. Josh Thompson, because they didn't test him, they went after DeSean Jameson, which surprised me. Because if I am building a game plan, I'd go after Josh Thompson. The numbers tell you to go after Josh Thompson.
Yep.
But Arkansas decided, now we're going after DeSean Jameson.
Good time to use that double move.
It was the perfect timing of that play call. Perfect time. It really was. Because the momentum was It wasn't, Texas didn't capture it yet, but it was starting to swing. It was right the B.J. Foster play had just happened, and then Texas had just scored. They went in to score, and they kicked it off, and that first down, they stumped them. Matter of fact, it was a second and 10, I believe, on the double move, because Texas stopped them at the line of scrimmage, and they called Deshaun Jameson sleeping. He was just over there sleeping. I know he was.
I don't blame
staring into the backfield.
For peeking into the backfield, considering.
Yeah, you can peek. Pete, don't stare.
Yeah.
It's like cleavage.
That's Costanza. Pete,
don't stare.
Right.
Don't.
Get a good look, Costanza.
Get a good look. And when you're every man knows
this. Get a good look, Deshaun.
Every man knows this. When you're with your woman, you peek. You don't stare. Then you get caught.
Nice stare.
You can peek. Oh, yeah, you're single.
Right.
Yeah, now you can't. Now you peek, stare. Like, I saw. You're like, I saw it. Trust me, I saw it.
Right.
I don't have to look at it to see it. My peripheral vision
audibly
is amazing. The peripheral vision is amazing. There you go. It does kind of match up, though, with some of the eye tests that you saw. Offensively, top offensive grades, based on Pro Football Focus, Derek Kerstetter with an 81.8, says here, right tackle.
I saw him whiff on one or two in the rewatch, but of all the offensive linemen, he played the best.
Yeah, I have some numbers, and we'll...
Engelau wasn't awful.
We can go over later. I was actually doing another rewatch, but for a different reason, kind of see where Texas had some success on the offensive line, and we'll go over these later, but it's pretty... some of it's kind of damning in terms of where Texas has had its success on the offensive line. So we can get to some of those numbers later on. I don't want to bit bogged down. I want to give you kind of the entire article here. Kelvonte Dixon, it says, the second best offensive score. Have him at a 78.3.
I want to see more of him.
You know what? That's fair. But considering what we've seen on the outside from the other wide receivers, and listen, Xavier Worthy, because he's a true freshman, I think he's ahead of schedule. He's fine. So I'm not, that's not, really it's about Joshua Moore here more than anything. And the truth is, it may not all be about him because he was missed a few times by Hudson Card, deep ball, Xavier Worthy too. So, I think we got to be a little bit patient, but I'm with you. I think he still deserves more reps. I mean,
as long as obviously the ankle's good to go. Some of that is me kind of going off Paul Wadlington, EGAT, shout out there, his information. And for the last year and a half, he's been telling me, I'm hearing good things about him. That's from the previous coaching staff.
Well,
so it's not like we're loaded there.
Sark brought him up unsolicited a couple of times in preseason, remember?
Yep,
in the offseason, he did. So he likes him because he's fast, right? That's the thing that Sark covers. It's speed in his wide receivers, and he's a speedy guy. Getting back to offensive grades, third best, Casey Thompson, no surprise there. He had a 76.6 grade. Bijan Robinson, fourth best overall grade offensively, no surprise there, 73.5. I believe 52 of his 69 rushing yards were after contact. So he was just, I mean, he did it. He did all he could.
Yeah.
And he only had one target, too, which that's a little on Sark. The rushing yards, that's not completely on Sark. The offensive line was a bit of a, you know, it was a fuster cluck for the most part. Sark's got to schematically try to scheme around that. That is on him. But he's got to get more targets to Bijan. Bijan, one of your best route runners.
Yeah. I was shocked that they didn't split him out. And for the notion of the offensive, that Bijan will just make the offensive line look good. That's
I thought he was so good that a bad offensive line wouldn't deter him from being productive, and I still think he can, but not up against you know what I mean, not elite but
against
formidable.
Rice, he should be able to do that.
Exactly, but if we can say formidable defensive front, he's not gonna be able to do that.
Fair.
He's not gonna be able to do that. So I was half right, half wrong about that. I still think he is an elite back, hey, but he still got to get a little bit of help. Junior Ungalau, fifth best offensive grade. So they got two offensive linemen here. And you said you thought Ungalau had a good game.
Okay.
But a decent game.
Yeah.
You didn't think that he was one of the liabilities on the offensive line.
No, it was more Jake Majors and moving left.
It was Jake, yeah, pretty much. It's the center to the left is where the weakness of the offensive line is, and that's like half the O-lines. It's like, that's the weakness of the O-line.
It's three-fifths.
It's three-fifths of the O-line.
Right.
It's like, well, I don't know if that's a weakness. That's the O-line.
And we're not loaded on the right side.
Exactly. The bottom defensive grades, Pro Football Focus says, DeMarvion Overshown.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing.
I'm actually surprised he's the worst.
I am, but a lot of it is, remember, when your defensive line is getting pushed back, 97 of the 333 yards rushing for Arkansas before first contact. So when your D tackles are getting pushed back, it's obstructing his view, number one, so he can't see to diagnose the play. And number
he's got big asses in his way.
Not only do I got to get around the block of the guy getting to the second level, I got to get through the traffic of my offensive lineman getting pushed back. It makes life really tough on a linebacker when his defensive line is getting pushed back. Now, if they're not penetrating, that's fine. But getting pushed back is a different thing altogether. They were getting pushed back. They were allowing the line of scrimmage to be reset, if you will. So DeMarvion Overshown, worst offensive defensive grade. I'm a little surprised it's the worst, but I'm not surprised. Alfred Collins is the second worst, 38.5. Overshown was 33.6. DeSean Jameson, third worst, no surprise. So that matches up with the eye test, 39.8 grade. David Benda, fourth worst defensive grade with a 41.3. And then they got Brendan Schooler at the fifth worst defensive grade at 43.6. Our safety play, other than B.J. Foster, because B.J. Foster was, he was at his best in that game. Schooler, he missed some, probably missed two tackles in the game that I could remember charting.
Yeah, he didn't look great.
That's probably what it was.
He didn't look great. The secondary really wasn't tested via the air, so maybe why you've got three DBs that are on the top five list of how they graded out. But you get Jameson, you get two here in Jameson and Schooler. And going back and looking at it, and I thought I saw this live, Jaron Thompson actually got the start. He was out there for the first play.
Interesting.
So I don't
instead
know.
Instead of Schooler. So it was B.J.
Instead
Foster,
of Schooler,
was
yeah.
it Foster and Thompson?
It was Foster and Thompson.
Interesting, yeah. And Cook at the nickel. But there was a lot of rotations. There were a lot of guys that played. Defensively, they're playing a lot of guys.
Yeah, they are. They played 30 plus against Louisiana.
I don't know if they're troubleshooting, finding solutions, or just trying to make sure that guys have depth so later on in the season, or maybe it's early on and guys don't have the conditioning. I have no idea. They're playing a ton of guys.
They are.
Like even a corner.
Yeah.
Ken Folk playing. They're playing four corners.
Right.
DeSean James and Josh Thompson done, and they play Keaton Crawford too. Man. Okay.
We saw Byron Murphy and Collins and a couple of those guys in there.
They're playing a lot. They played five interior D linemen. I want to say they played total nine D linemen, eight or nine D linemen in that game in terms of the outside, the DNs, outside linebackers, and the interior D linemen.
And none of them played well.
No.
And maybe, I'm not trying to pick on you, just being honest here.
But you're right about that. I totally agree. Offensively, real quick to wrap up this article, the Pro Football Focus grades for Texas versus Arkansas. Hudson Card had the bottom offensive grades. Hudson Card, the worst offensive grade, 42.8. Then Jake Majors, the center, 43.9. Then Jordan Whittington, who had two drops, 49.8. Then Joshua Moore, who just can't seem to really get open, 51.8. And then Marcus Washington.
I don't even think I saw Marcus Washington. I'll go back and watch him again.
53.4.
Shot like two plays, and he was okay on one, and so you miss the other, and you're at 50?
Man, Pro Football Focus just don't like you, Marcus Washington.
I guess not.
pass blocking grades, they have Junior Ungalau with the best pass blocking grade.
That's
on
good
here.
To hear.
Yeah, 81.8, then Keelan Robinson, then Bijan Robinson, 74.5 and 71.5.
So backs are 2 and 3 in pass pro.
Yeah, then Kerstetter, 70.9 at 4, then Cade Brewer, 69.1 at 5, then Okafor, 6, 60.5, then 7, Christian Jones, 51.4, 8 is Gunnar Helm, the tight end, 22.3, and then 9 is Jake Majors, 11.9. That is his Pro Football Focus pass blocking grade. That can't be good. 11.9. You can't even legally date his pass blocking grade.
Depends on what's country or state or even state. Yeah, so we even said it. We said it on post game. You and I said it on Monday that Jake Majors may have been the worst of all of them. It's easier to look at Jones and Okafor because they were really bad. And we know with the center position, I don't think there's anywhere they can go. You're not going to move Kerstetter there. We've already seen that. Please don't do that.
No, they're
going to go with Tope Amade?
They experimented with, I think, Ungalau there at one point. They experimented with some guys there, but
you're kind of stuck with that.
You are. Yeah, you got to work around that. He's your guy. You got to find solutions to that. I think other places, I heard Casey stuttered on with Bucky this, I'm sorry, B&E this morning, but it was just E because Bucky had some family business to attend to. And he said, he talked about experimenting with, man, if Kerstetter is the guy that can play anywhere, move him inside to guard on the left side to try to help yourself out on the left side and see if Carrick can, maybe he can go play right tackle for you.
Yeah.
Which he's a tackle. And see if, you can move Ungalau to the left side to try to shore up the left side for you a little bit. He said, you got to find a solution, though, on the left. And I totally agree with him. I think, and it may be a personnel issue more so than a scheme issue, but I think the solution is going to be a little bit of both.
It will be.
Yeah.
But it's a personnel issue.
It's a personnel issue. Hey, speaking of personnel, my friends at Steiner Ranch Steakhouse, they have great personnel. You hear me bragging about Steiner Ranch Steakhouse all the time. They have the best views along with the most exquisite cuisine, along with the best service of any restaurant in Central Texas. It takes an exceptional team, that personnel, to make that Steiner Ranch Steakhouse experience truly special. And now, my friends at Steiner Ranch Steakhouse, they're hiring at all positions, including managers, hostesses, servers, line cooks, kitchen staff as well. Steiner Ranch Steakhouse will be offering competitive wages for all new employees. And of course, we know my friends at Steiner Ranch Steakhouse are synonymous with exceptional style and impeccable standards. And that's because they have a staff of extraordinary men and women. All right. They're the personnel that we were just talking about. And now it's your chance to join that all-star staff at Steiner Ranch Steakhouse. For employment inquiries, give them a call at 512-381-0800 or visit SteinerSteakhouse.com to submit your resume and contact information. Also, speaking of Steiner Ranch Steakhouse, remember September 23rd, Thursday, September 23rd, they're going to have the Bellamy Brothers live on the scenic hilltop stage there at Steiner Ranch Steakhouse. The entrees include the fan favorites like the Cowboy Beef Filet, the Fillin' Sea Bass, and the Let Your Love Flow Scallops. Give them a call at 512-381-0800. Seating is limited and reservations are on a first-come, first-served basis. So give them a call, 512-381-0800 to make your reservations today or go to SteinerSteakhouse.com to find out more information.
All right. Offensive line could be an issue for the Cowboys as well as they get ready for a big time pass rush and Joey Bosa and those guys. And they're going to have a new right tackle. Is this a guy the Cowboys should go with?
Welcome back to RBKD. It is a way back rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day right here on RBKD. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. You also can hit my man John up at JS Reichel in the Twitterverse. He's actually the one twisting and tweaking the dials back there and spinning the jams on a way back rap Wednesday right here on RBKD. All right, we'll get to some Longhorn football conversation. We'll get back, I should say, to some Longhorn football conversation. But I want to talk some Cowboys because we did have Jerry Jones drop a little bombshell on us about the Lyle Collins suspension. He was on 105.3 The Fan.
Because that's what owners should do.
Jay. Jerry likes to break news.
I know it is.
Jerry likes to break news, man.
Yep. This is your fantasy team, and it's been since 1995.
Hey, he's doing something right. It's the most valuable franchise in sports.
Oh, yeah, he is.
On one side, anyway. But on the business side.
But you would also tell me the Kardashians are doing something right. And I would tell you, if you have a soul, that they're not.
To be fair, you're talking about morality, and you're talking about...
I'm talking about just making money versus...
I know.
Being able to sleep at night.
I will say I do admire the Kardashians because they, in terms of marketing and being able to maximize branding,
that's my comparison.
It started with a sex tape.
Right.
And the marriage to OJ's lawyer. I mean, that's basically that was their claim to fame. And now.
And Jerry started with a spit cup.
They built an empire over it, right?
So did he.
Over a sex tape and her marriage to. The OJ's lawyer.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
Or at least the mom's marriage. That was OJ's lawyer. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean, you know what I meant. The sex tape is
Kim
Kardashian.
There are kids that hear that. They're like, what?
What? Kim Kardashian Robert is Kardashian. The sex tape. And then Robert Kardashian, which is Kim's father, was OJ's lawyer. And boom.
Right.
I still think they were swinging too.
Probably.
I think they were. I think all that.
Well, look at her second marriage.
I think it all stemmed from swinging. That's my theory. Like, you know, remember the Marcus Allen was involved too? Like there was an affair going on.
Oh, I think the Kardashians were swinging.
Remember they were all friends. The Kardashians, Marcus Allen, O.J. Simpson, and all they were all friends around that time when swinging was a big thing. I'm just throwing it out there.
Swinging's like cocaine. It still is a big thing.
And I just think like some
it's not talked about.
I'm
as
saying
much.
That some misunderstandings happened with the swing. Go look up Marcus Allen and O.J. Simpson. There was like some stuff there.
Got some homework tonight.
Got some homework. Look it up. Look it up.
This all works out well. Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald, who got fired for giving OJ jokes.
Yeah, we loved OJ jokes.
Oh, he was.
Those were fantastic. His OJ jokes were really good. Honestly, Norm MacDonald's he's iconic. He's almost at this point, and I think he will now, unfortunately, become even more legendary.
That works.
Because I think America spent a great deal of time on Twitter last night just reliving old clips. Or I think a lot of people did.
And I was a fan of his, but he wasn't one of my favorites, and he started to become one of my favorites last night.
I had a new appreciation for him after last night. A lot of people put some stuff out there. Well, I mean, I'm 40, but I mean, a lot of that stuff is from the 80s, like, you know, when we were babies, when we were young, 80s. And when was he on SNL?
93 to 98.
Yeah, they were pulling out stuff from him way back in the day.
I was watching SNL
like
all
early
the time
90s.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was watching SNL in the early. Maybe I was.
I was watching SNL more from 8 to 20 than I have been from 20 to 43.
You're an old soul.
I really am.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's talk about Jerry Jones because he's an old soul too. He was on 105.3 The Fan.
Something.
And he revealed that second-year tackle Terrence Steele is going to be starting in place of Lyle Collins, who's suspended for 5 games after violating the NFL substance abuse policy. Did you hear the backstory on the violation of the substance abuse
policy? He didn't show up.
He didn't show up. So he didn't, it wasn't that he, you know, didn't pass a test.
Right.
Or came up, you know, it was that he just didn't show up for the test.
So I heard Ari Temkin,
he had
a good
test,
job.
Just didn't show up for the test. And if you don't show up for a certain amount of them,
then
it just flagged as a positive and then boom, you're put into the protocol. So weird.
It's guilt by omission, as Ari Temkin said, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's got a drug problem. But it could be that he didn't want to show up because he knew he was going to test positive.
That could be it too. But he's got to be, it has to happen multiple times for them to actually suspend you.
Okay.
You can miss a test. That's just a red. That's just a flag. And then they're like, all right, well, now we're gonna schedule another one. And
you better get
to this one. And then I think they give you another chance. I think they give like
really?
Three to like not to, to for a all no right. show. For a no show.
And that does sound like guilt.
Yeah, something's going on there. I don't know what that is. That's weird. But anyway, he's going to be suspended for 5 games. And they're not appealing it.
Okay.
Because he just didn't show. What are you
going
to appeal for? What are you going to say?
He can pee now, but
you didn't show up.
Right.
It's not about the levels of THC in your system or whatever. Well, that doesn't matter anymore. I'm old. I'm like an old man.
Right.
Or whatever. That's what I'm thinking. That's mean weed doesn't matter anymore.
And weed's the one that stays in your system the longest.
Yeah, weed stays in your system
the
depending
ones that I
on
know of.
The fat cells you have in your body. It's about your fat content, pretty much. Your blood. Not your blood alcohol content.
Does this help out fatter people?
Well, I think it sticks to fat cells, from what I understand.
Man, they're just losing every battle.
So it's about your body mass ratio, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Body mass index, and that determines how. So if you got a lot of muscle and less fat, then it stays in your system a shorter amount of time. Don't know. It just depends on your metabolism.
Gotcha.
But if you're, you know, more fat you have and more overweight, then it sticks to your fat cells, and it stays in your system for a long time. Even more than 40 days, potentially.
Interesting.
Yeah. 40 days is like kind of the average. I was told.
Yeah. Hey, he was told, people. There's obviously not been
sat
a lot of research
sat down with Ricky one
done.
Day, and then Ricky just schooled me
to laid it out
I
for
just,
you.
I kid. I'm joking. But yeah, so he's suspended for 5 games. They're not going to appeal that. That's done. And like I said, yeah, marijuana doesn't matter anymore. That's so weird. So if he was smoking weed, and that's what it was, and that's why he didn't show up, and he was scared he's going to test positive, it's like, dude, that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So I still wonder what it is, but they won't reveal that, and that's true. That's for his personal reasons. That's why Ari Temkin was so flabbergasted by the whole damn thing.
It's like, why?
It's like, what the hell?
Why
just
are you not
show
showing up?
Yeah. All right, anyway, so Terrence Steele is going to be the tackle in his place, the right tackle in his place, and there are a lot of Cowboys fans out there who are going up against the a Bosa. There's a Bosa over there for the Chargers.
Bosa.
There's a Bosa. I always mix up my Bosas, so I know there's a
Joey.
Bosa there. It's Joey over
there.
I know both of the Bosas are badass.
Nick's
so
in San Francisco.
There you go. I mean, they're both pretty awesome. So you're going to have a problem if you have a second year, but also a subpar offensive tackle there. And he was an undrafted free agent coming out of, I think, Texas Tech. I believe. Right
Steel?
Now, Terrence Steele from?
I believe so, yeah.
He's out of Texas Tech. But, yeah, so that could be a problem for the Cowboys. So that'll be something that Kellen Moore's got to scheme up or scheme around. And here's something I found interesting when I was listening to I think Ari Temkin brought it up too, so I did some deep diving action. Ari Temkin does a great job covering the Cowboys. You don't follow him via Twitter, you should. If you're a Cowboys fan, you should. And here's a great stat about the Cowboys' run plays against the Bucs. So remember, they basically abandoned the run game and decided they were going to just throw the football and Dak threw for over 400 yards. And they almost pulled out a victory versus the Super Bowl champion Bucs. Kellen Moore admitted he called 28 run plays on Thursday night.
Dak got out of them.
Said Dak checked out of 12 of them.
Right.
So he said, because they were like, well, you abandoned the run. He was like, hey, I didn't abandon the run. I called 28 run plays.
Dak did the right thing.
Dak got ultimate authority.
Yeah.
It tells us one thing. Dak's got ultimate authority on the offense. It is his offense now. If he's saying, I called 28 run plays, and Dak's like, nope, I got this. This is good. We got this. So
this is Major Greg Davis stuff.
Well, I think they want Dak to have that type of, you know, control of the offense and command of the offense. They want him to have ownership of it. It's his offense now.
It also it makes you more comfortable as a play caller if you know what, I'm going to call a run play here, and there's a good chance he's going to check out of it. But if it's there, then he didn't have to check into a run play.
Great point.
Right. And yeah. So I think he expected him to check out of half those.
No, it's a great line from, I forgot which Texas Tech quarterback, says Mike Leach. You know, Mike Leach only calls pass plays. And, you know, some people don't know that scouts go down and they, you know, he tells them that. They're like, what the hell? He only calls pass plays. That's it. But he will dog cuss you.
If you don't check into a run.
If you come to the sideline and, like, yeah, basically, you know, it was a third and short or something and you didn't check and they had the numbers, he said he'll dog cuss you because he said, that's your fault. You need to check.
Yep.
You're the quarterback. You saw that the run was there and that they were devoting numbers to the pass. You saw they dropped two deep safeties. Check it to a run.
Yeah.
That's on you. So I think you're right. I think all offensive coordinators in mind, they want their quarterbacks to ultimately be in command of the offense and take control of the offense. And that's what you saw from Dak. I love that stat. He called 28 runs. So Kellen Moore didn't abandon the run. Dak just decided, nah, it's not the right situation for it, coach. I'm sorry, I gotta veto that. I love that. I think it's awesome.
Steel is Texas Tech, by the way, just to wrap all that up. So.
Yeah. And remember, I think it was against Atlanta. What? Man, it was a few years ago.
He hasn't looked good.
I don't remember. Like, yeah, I don't remember how long ago. It was a really bad game against Atlanta the Cowboys had when they had all these makeshift offensive linemen in there. You remember that? I think they had like 8 sacks.
Oh, I remember it. I think he got pulled. The question is, and then after that, they said, okay, we're going to move Zach Martin out to tackle. Well, if Zach Martin's back, McGovern looked pretty good. I mean, looked okay. Now it was a bunch of pass plays, and he had help around him at right guard. Do you move McGovern to right guard and move Zach Martin out to right tackle, knowing that Steele has problems on the edge with a guy like Joey Bosa?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean,
how quickly do you make that move?
All right, Timken said he thought that they should have put Zach Martin out at tackle.
I would.
I would say the Cowboys' offensive line held up better than I thought. I know some people wouldn't believe that. They held up better than I thought versus the Bucs, considering they didn't have Zach Martin.
Me too.
I actually thought they did an admirable job, because that arguably is one of the best fronts. If you can make an argument, it's the best front in the NFL. Yeah. Definitely run stuffing right. wise. Run stuffing wise, there's no question. But even
good thing is they didn't run.
That's true. Well, that's why.
Yeah.
It's like why they've been the best run defense in the NFL for the last 2 years, and it's not even close. It's not even like the next closest team to them, I want to say, is close to like 10 to 20 yards away from them in terms of rush defense.
But here's the thing. They had the best run defense. They didn't run. That's a smart thing. We find out Dak checks out of 12 of those 28, which just makes me like Dak even more, his understanding of the game. But it's also a pretty good pass rush, and they've got guys on the edge, and they knew at some point in this game, pin your ears back. They're not running.
Yeah, that's true.
So it gave Tampa Bay an advantage, and they still did a pretty good job.
Yeah, they figured that out at one point.
The Cowboys' offensive line.
They're like, oh, they're not running. Like, no. And right. If they run, we'll charge it to the game. That we, but right now, we need to get pressure on Dak. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you're right about that. So that's interesting. And also with the Cowboys, we'll get into breaking down that matchup with the Chargers a little bit too, but they might end up having some COVID protocol issues with some guys too. I mean, that's out there. So we'll get you. I'll get it confirmed and get the updates. But remember, that was an issue, of course, with Zach Martin. I mean, that's why he missed. It was a COVID issue. It wasn't an injury. They might have that on the defensive side.
And you've got that secondary who's dealing with Justin Herbert. Keenan and all that.
Well, they got injuries too. Remember, I mean, Kelvin Joseph, boss man Fats, didn't start that first game. I think he's on the IR, so he won't be starting the next two games. I think he got 3 weeks on the IR now. As the minimum. So, yeah, it's Micah Parsons, though, I will say he's the real deal. And that was a good pick for the Cowboys. I mean, defensively, I like what I saw from the Cowboys defensively. It's not something that's going to change overnight. I mean, it's going to be a process for the Cowboys defense. But early on, at least they made some plays.
Secondary is going to be an issue, but they made a couple plays.
Trevon Diggs, I think, is going to be a good player for you. You got some holes, but going up against arguably one of the best wide receiving corps or receiving corps in the league, and the GOAT Tom Brady, I think everybody would have some holes. We'll see how they go up against some of the other competition in the NFL, not the defending Super Bowl champs. That was a good measuring stick and a starting point, though. I'll say that.
Good starting point, and we'll see what the Cowboys do. We'll talk more about that game, obviously, as the week goes on. Back to college football. Man, changing landscape with a lot of stuff, including the transfer portal. Is the NCAA going to try and help out teams that get too many poached? My squad stays on point like that. It's the joint. Yeah, my squad stay on point like that. It's the way back Wednesday. Way back. Hip-hop Wednesday. Who do we have here, John?
We got EPMD, the joint.
You know this one, Rod, don't you?
Yeah, I recognize it. I didn't know it was EPMD, though. It's legit. Good job. Man, good job, John. EPMD, my brother would like this. EPMD is old school.
Very old school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I've heard this, but maybe once, and it's been years ago.
I don't remember. I can't even tell you what year this is from. But I like it, though. It's good.
Yeah.
1999.
Oh, man. That's a good year for us.
That's a great year
for us.
That's
a great year for us. Yeah, that's your prime.
We're living it.
Mm-hmm.
Living it. All right. Division I Football Oversight Committee is considering a one-year waiver. And this would allow football programs to go over the yearly 25-player signing limit. Feels like a lot of them already do that. And this is according to the AFCA director, Todd Berry. So the proposal, which Barry makes clear, is far, far from finalized. So this is just a proposal, and they're hoping to get this done, that college programs would be able to recoup an initial counter for every current player that transfers.
Okay, so does this just up the amount of counters?
Yeah, so if you've got 25, you get 25 that you can have,
you get
right,
25.
In one class, yeah. Right? So let's say that you lose 8 guys in the transfer portal.
Okay.
Then your next class, you could go up to 33.
Okay, gotcha. All right. And that's not already a thing? That's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so strange. Yeah, I mean, obviously a transfer portal, considering how prolific it is now.
Or it's actually 32, so it'd be 7 players. Sorry about that.
Because of the 25 initially.
From the 25, yeah.
And they're going to up to 7. Okay. Yeah, I mean, they got to. I understand trying to give teams a little bit of give them a little bit of freedom, so they can maneuver. It's almost like now it reminds me of the NFL just kind of maneuvering a salary cap and working with a roster. It's not a salary cap thing, but they need wiggle room for the roster,
right?
Because they got so much influx and so many guys going out of the program via the transfer portal, and that's a regular thing for everybody now. It's not. It used to be considered unhealthy. Oh. Look, I mean, guys leaving the program. That's
Something's going on. Six, seven
guys leave.
Toxic.
I think every year now, 6, 7 guys are going to leave the program, and a couple of starters. It's just a thing.
It's a thing.
It happens. In Oklahoma, it happens to everybody.
We've already tested this, as I talked about months ago, whenever this whole thing came down, or maybe even a year ago, that always study history. This has already happened in college baseball 10, 15 years ago.
This exact thing?
And it was... in terms of the transfer portal.
Yeah, in terms of opening
it
up.
And it was a disaster.
It's like a free agency almost.
To where they changed it.
How long did they keep it?
Maybe a year or two.
Wow.
Yeah, it was obvious. Okay. And everyone said, you know what, we're trying to give these kids the best opportunity and trying to make
them more freedom.
But it's killing the whole system.
Yeah.
And so, kiddos, sometimes you have to kind of learn that. So I thought this was going to be an issue, and I knew they were going to have to do something. And this would, I don't think this is going to totally help.
This won't do much.
But yeah, because you're bringing in freshmen.
Yeah.
So if I lose 2 or 7 juniors and I'm bringing in 7 extra freshmen,
yeah.
Well, down the road in 2 or 3 years when I'm fired, it may help out.
Totally agree. this is them. I'm with you. They're trying to put like a Band-Aid on something that is bleeding excessively.
Yeah.
And it's like, you need to patch the wound first before you try to put a Band-Aid on it. But I will say, I think you're right. I think it could get to the point where it's considered a problem, and coaches start to sound off on it, and athletic directors start talking about it, but who's the decision makers? The NCAA, so we don't really trust them. They move at a glacier-like pace, and even when they do, they don't want to address issues of morality and, you know, ethical issues, and that's why they've stayed away from a lot of things now. And player empowerment is now considered, you know, an issue of morality, whether these young men and women deserve the right to have control of their own fate, right? So that I want to transfer, just like the coaches could leave a school. I want to leave a school. That's kind of where this conversation started.
So I think
the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying
morality to me would be going too far on it. There are just some things in life that you're stuck and you've got to kind of get out of that. And the younger you are, the more you're going to have that. I think we're giving too many rights to young people.
No. I disagree. I think you should give them the right. I always said you should give them the right. They want to transfer, they can transfer. Just put stipulations on it. If it's about academics, say it's about GPA. If you have a certain GPA, you can transfer. And then make the GPA
that incentivizes
3.5.
Who
can complain about a guy who, or a gal, young lady, who is a extraordinary student, great academic athlete, and yet they decide, no, I want to leave, because they might leave for academics. I mean, they obviously are prioritized a different way than most student athletes. So I think that's how they should do it. If they change anything, which, like you said, they might have to, because, yeah, it's becoming now, and now that 247 has their own transfer portal rankings.
I know.
For players, because it became such a big deal. It became so commonplace.
It's a big deal. And there are a lot of these guys and gals that I think have every right.
It's happening in every sport.
Have every right to transfer. Some are just being young and are just pissed off because they're not playing as
much. True.
Like there's some of those on both sides, and it would be hard to go case by case. This is what Barry said. The problem that our coaches were facing was the fact that if I signed 25 players in December and February signing dates, then that leaves me with no initials to be able to handle the 5 offensive linemen that I might lose in the summer of next year. So everybody was feeling like they had to hold a significant number of scholarships back, with the idea that I've got to hold them back because I don't know exactly what I'm going to lose next summer.
That's what Lincoln Riley said. Lincoln Riley said, I'm going to start recruiting less scholarship athletes out of high school, and I'm going to start using those scholarships for transfers.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's just that simple. He admitted that to the media. He said, no, this is, and some people, that was their concern, that this was going to have the very, you know, fertile transfer portal market was going to have this negative blowback effect where some schools and some coaches prefer the transfer market.
Yeah.
And they decide, hell, Chris Beard, actually, in college basketball, he prefers the transfer. I mean, not say he prefers it, but he uses both.
He uses it, but
I think Lincoln Riley's admitting.
What would his roster look like without it this year?
Yeah, Lincoln Riley's admitting, no, I'm going to use less scholarships on high school athletes and more on transfers, period.
Yeah.
Because he says it's worked out for him.
And so there are a lot of pros to the transfer portal, too. I don't think this is a black and white issue. And I do think that also we talk about the lack of parity. We've seen that with college football, especially. And I do think this is a way to maybe the Virginias of the world or programs like that, where they use that portal, and especially get a quarterback that important of a position, then it will add a little bit more parity to a sport that needs it. I mean, I've looked at it. There are a lot of pros. There are a lot of cons on each side.
It is.
To be honest, and to where I've gotten actually a lot closer to, I kind of get the transfer portal. And save your text. That's outside of Chris Beard turning what would have been maybe the 8th team in the Big 12 to a top 5 preseason national team.
Yeah.
So it's helped me out as a Texas fan a lot. But also I care about the overall health of the sport, and I see exactly where Barry's coming from. Like this is, it's going to be tricky to keep this going long term.
Yeah.
Without adding
some
things
rails.
And making guardrails is a great way to put it.
Little regulation, but the NCAA is the one in charge of that.
I know.
We have no faith in them. But I agree with you.
Barry's hopeful that it'll be voted on in October.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we,
you know who you're dealing with.
It's kind of like, they don't have any other thing. They don't have anything on their plate.
No.
I mean, they didn't address.
They should be able to.
They don't address name, image, and likeness. They don't address anything. So maybe they will be. Realignment doesn't concern them.
No.
Nobody cares about what the NCAA thinks of realignment.
Right. They feel irrelevant, but now visibly irrelevant.
Yeah,
and we'll see if they can jump on this. But I thought that was interesting just because that is something we've talked about, and I was glad to see that Barry and the Coaches Association is saying, hey, this isn't great. I figured that would happen like it did in baseball, and now we'll just see. I think Rod put it perfectly. If there are going to be some guardrails to try and make this thing work a little bit more smoothly. All right, 1 hour down, 2 hours to go.